What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning, it's Clara Hermit in for Gabby Allen here on What the Health on FUBAR Radio. As you know, Gabby, or you may not know, Gabby is currently donning a bikini. She is on Love Island All Stars. The first episode was out last night, and boy, it's looking interesting. We wish Gabby all the very best of luck, and we will be watching her journey very closely indeed. I'm Clara Hermit. I am a radio presenter, content creator, and I used to be a personal trainer. I have a love of exercise. It's something that is really important to me in my life, and of course I think it's not just about the physical, it's also about the mental as well. And on this show we're going to be talking about health and fitness to support you through your fitness journey. Each week we're joined by a range of guests to dissect the latest fitness trends, separate the facts from the myth, and give you advice on how to achieve your health goals. Now, on the show today, if you were listening last week, I was joined by ex-professional footballer Anton Ferdinand, who is currently a Dancing on Ice contestant. He made his debut on the show on Sunday, and he's not in the skate-off. He's doing all right. He's done well. It was a good performance from Anton, but I have the second part of that interview to play for you. I'm also going to be joined by Dr. Aisha Iqbal, who's an NHS doctor and weight loss coach, but joining me right now in the studio for our Myth Busters section, where we're going to be discussing all things fitness post Christmas, it is personal trainer India Bino, and she joins me in the studio. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. When I said post Christmas there, it feels like Christmas was forever ago, doesn't
it? I know, literally. It feels like it was months and months ago. It was literally just the other day.
Yeah, we've just got out of the Christmas period. What was it like for you over Christmas? Do you maintain training over Christmas, or do you have a little break?
Do you know what? I think I've got a five-year-old, so obviously Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are literally just for him. But prior to that, literally, I train all the time. So I still maintain my same schedule. Obviously, where I work at Pure Gym, I still have my clients. So in between that, I kind of like fit in sessions and stuff. So I still maintain it.
Yeah.
Because it's not just part of like a fitness program for me. Mm-hmm. It's my life now. It's my routine. It's what I do to stay balanced, to stay sane and stuff. And yeah.
So no, literally no days off for you, because I know for some people over that kind of period there's so much going on that they just have a little break and, you know, use it as a rest, reset. Mm-hmm. But I guess for other people it is really important, and I think I do a mixture of both, because this year I completely was not training. Some days I go for a run on Christmas Day, or I get up on Christmas Day and do a little home workout. That's so good. You know, you got to mix it up a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah.
So talk to us about your journey with fitness, because you just mentioned how important it is to you. Mm-hmm. How did you discover fitness, get into fitness, and how did it become such a big part of your life and now your career?
Okay, so I had my son in 2019 and I was diagnosed with postnatal depression and anxiety. I also became a single mum and a first-time mum at the same time. Wow. So then I started to add on a lot of weight, started to excessively eat, comfort eat, to kind of get through the situation and stuff. And then I think it was, I can't even remember the exact time or the date, it was like a period of time where my son had got a little bit more active, and I started to think, okay, no, I can't do this. I can't just be there. I have to be around. I have to be able to play football with him. I have to make up for all of the things that I think I might not be able to do right now, but no, I have to do all of these things. So I said, no, I'm going to start. So then I started with like just a couple of HIIT workouts on YouTube and stuff. And then it built into me filming myself, which was really so nerve-wracking, like watching back videos of myself, and I used him as a weight as well, because I thought, well, I can't afford all of these like barbell, like dumbbells and kettlebells and stuff, so I'll just use him.
Yeah,
so I used him as a weight,
but it's fun, he's part of it
and he loved it. There's videos of him literally laughing his head off. He absolutely loved it. So then I kind of incorporated him more into it, filmed a little bit more, and then it got to the point where I was like, maybe I should become a PT.
Maybe I should.
Maybe I should become a PT.
And was, I guess, part of the kind of filming yourself, showing your progress, but also your enjoyment, because I know for you as well that it's a big part of it is for your mental health as well as your physical health. Yeah. Did that then spur lots of people to kind of ask for your help, ask, be inspired by you and ask questions? Yeah. And you thought, hold on a second, this could be something.
No, literally, I did. I got like ladies that are just girls that had just had babies and girls that had don't know anything or didn't know anything about the gym or workouts and stuff like that, like asking me, oh my gosh, how do you stay motivated, like how do you do this every other day, do you know what I mean? And I would have it on Snapchat so all my friends would see it, and it would be on Instagram and people that I didn't know would be adding me, and then like, oh my gosh, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, it's, do you know what, it's something that's inside of me and you have to find your reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it all kind of boils down to. It's good enough, like, yeah, you can have a goal, I want to be able to lose 3 stone in this X amount of time, but you have to have a reason why you want to do it. And so when I was given the advice to like a lot of girls that were messaging me and stuff like that, I wanted to be able to provide them with more factual stuff, do you know what I mean, and the educational side of it. So I said, no, I have to now do my personal training qualification.
And you did it
properly, and I did it,
which is incredible. And I know from your Instagram that you call yourself an empowerment coach. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about that and what that means?
So to me, I'm not the personal trainer that's going to sit there or the coach that's going to sit there and say, no, you need to do 20 burpees before the end of this session, or drop down and give me 20. I'm not that person.
Mm-hmm.
I've got clients where I can kind of tell throughout the session that they're feeling a bit, oh, this wasn't great, or there's a look that they have in their eyes, and I can kind of, I know what that feeling is because I've looked in the mirror sometimes and I've seen that look in myself. So I kind of know, okay, no, you need a pick me up. Mm. You need a little bit of a push, a little bit of a pat on the back. You've got this, okay? It's not an overnight thing, but as long as you commit to it and you give it your all, you will get what you want out of this whole situation. So the empowerment part is like the hand, I'm there just leaning like kind of like a crutch kind of,
mm-hmm.
just to be there. Because I don't want you to feel like you're going through this whole thing by yourself and I'm just here as your trainer.
Yeah.
I'm not just your trainer. I'm going to give you like affirmations and stuff like that. I'm going to speak life into what you're doing, not just giving you a list of exercises to do and telling you what the time frame is to do them in.
Sounds like you're considering, which I think is a really important part, is people's, you know, mental health and how it impacts exercise, how it impacts how we feel about ourselves, how we show up and all of those things. Because, you know, our body can only do what our mind allows it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the bit that I guess you have to tackle as well when you're working with people.
Yeah.
Because you can change your body, but you've got to change your mind.
100%.
And that's much harder, I think.
100%. It really, really is.
There's a bit of a trend going around on social media at the moment. It's called quadrobics.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? And do you think that there are any proven benefits of this? For people listening, just go and Google or go onto TikTok or Instagram and put quadrobics in. It's basically running around on all fours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look to have quite a lot of functional benefits as well. So like bear crawls as well, as like engaging your core, your arms, that full body. So it looks like, yes, you can get a decent workout in there.
That's it. No more comments.
No more comments.
I mean, the thing is, I think it's one of those things where it looks like it'd be quite difficult.
Yes.
You know, if you're a beginner, it looks like it could be quite difficult. It looks like it could take a lot of practice. Also, I imagine I did a bit of reading about it. It said some of the kind of cons are that you can fall over, hurt yourself, because you're on your feet and your hands. And then also you're trying to do different foot hand combination patterns like a horse would do.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of concentration as well.
Yeah, and coordination.
So I think it's one of those things that if you're into it, you're going to be into it.
Yeah, literally. If you are into it, you are going to learn every single hand movement that you possibly can so that you don't injure yourself.
Yeah. I'm going to find a class. Should we go together?
No, we should.
Okay.
It would be so much fun.
No, I like the way you're just like, yeah, sure.
No,
I'll come along.
Let's go. 2025, the year of new things.
There
you go.
Let's give it a go. And speaking of social media again, the 75 Hard Challenge is going viral again this year. What are your thoughts on that challenge?
I think it's it's a good place to start. But I think also you need to, when you're starting something brand new, like a fitness journey, you do also need to give yourself grace.
Mm-hmm.
Don't push yourself too much. Don't overload yourself with all of these expectations as well, because sometimes what will happen is you can get overwhelmed. And then when you feel like you're not performing as best as you should be, or as guideline to whichever challenge it is that you picked up on, you're going to start to kind of maybe just retreat a little bit and just maybe stop. So don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Mm.
That's how I kind of feel about
it. There's some variations of it as well, isn't there? Because mm-hmm. there's 75 medium challenge, yeah. 75 soft. So yeah. I think there's different ways around it, but I think you're right. Like, if you're right at the beginning of something, mm-hmm. it's best to just choose one thing mm-hmm. and make a commitment to yourself to stick to
literally
that one thing.
Even if it's walking.
Exactly. And the more you build up that trust with yourself, the more you can start to incorporate.
That's the thing.
And I think that's great. Are there any particular fitness trends that you think people should absolutely avoid?
I would probably say the crash dieting and yeah. stuff like that. The things where you are negatively treating your body and just, yeah, I think that's, for me, that's my main thing.
I always think as well with crash diets, people that I've known that do them, even myself maybe years ago, You lose weight, but then you just put it all back
yeah,
on again. It's
I've
not a lifestyle
well.
Change. It's
yeah.
not healthy.
No.
And it's just a constant yo-yo. You're mm-hmm. depriving yourself of mm-hmm. stuff. And I don't think it's particularly good for your body either. Right. So before you go, India, mm-hmm. what are your top three tips for someone who wants to start their fitness journey?
My top three tips are find your reason why.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Figure out exactly why you want whatever it is that you want. Number two is give yourself grace. And number three is don't overload yourself with a million things all at once. Bit by bit, take it step by step.
Yeah.
Literally, Rome, I know people say it all the time, but Rome was not built in a day. And you won't be built in a day. But the constant stacking of the bricks and stuff, it will create a mansion at the end of the journey.
So I love just that.
Keep it like
We're
that.
We're building a mansion.
We're building a mansion.
Brick by brick.
Brick by brick.
We can't rush the building of our incredible mansion. Look, it's been so lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
It's been very inspiring.
Thanks.
And we're going to go and try quadrobics.
That'll be fun.
For people who are listening who want to go and check out your page, see yeah. some of your content, and find out more about what you do, mm-hmm. what you do,
yeah.
where do they need to go?
If you go onto Instagram, and you can hit me up at trainwithind. I also work at Pure Gym, so you may see me around Pure Gym Borough as well if you attend there, or if you want to, it's entirely up to you, but it's a great place to be.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's literally.
Because I can
amazing.
Use all Pure Gyms. Other gyms are, of course, available, so maybe I have to come and pay you a visit.
Yes, you should. We should get a session in.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try a bit of quadrobics in
yes.
that session.
Yes.
India, it's been great to have you. Thank you so much for being on the show. We really, really appreciate you. That's India Bino, who is a personal trainer and an empowerment coach as well, doing great things. And yeah, I'm definitely going to hit India up and go and have a little session with her in Borough. It's not too far from me either. It's fine. I could do it. So if you do follow either one of us on social media, you might see evidence of that. So this is the part of the show where I tell you about my exercise of the week. And this week, I think last week I chose walking because, you know, I think it's a great thing. It should not be overrated. But this week, rather than exercise, I wanted to follow on a little bit from what India's been talking about, but just to hit on the importance of the exercise class, because I don't think it should be over or underrated. I know there's a lot of kind of talk about having personalized programs. I know that, you know, it's really important for us to maybe have a workout program and that we're following to make sure that we're getting the gains and the results that we want. But also, I think one of the things that's really powerful about going to the gym and keeping us going to the gym is having some kind of community and being in community with other people. And exercise classes can be incredible for this because you meet other people. There are exercise classes that are more cardio focused. There are exercise classes that are more relaxation focused and stretching focused and mobility focused. There are exercise classes that are more weights focused. So you can really, really touch base, get involved, and be surrounded by other people It's also great accountability. You will work harder in an exercise class than you would if you were just training on your own. So that's what I'm throwing out there this week, is the power of an exercise class. And I love to do them, especially if I'm struggling a little bit, or I'm feeling a little bit stale in my routine or a little bit stuck. That's when I turn to exercise classes and think, yay. I have some support. And circuit training for me, that's absolutely the one. It gets a little bit of everything in there. And hopefully you're going to give it a whirl, give it a try, come back and let me know exactly how you get on. And your gym hopefully has some exercise classes, or if you're not a member of a gym, you can just go and do classes. You can be part of a running club. But I just think community, especially when you're trying to get into exercise, can be incredibly important. Right, still to come on the show, we are going to be talking to Dr. Aisha Iqbal. She is an NHS doctor and weight loss coach. We'll have a chat with her. And coming up after this short break. It's going to be the second part of my interview with Anton Ferdinand, who is a former professional footballer and Dancing on Ice contestant, who, by the way, did very, very well when he was on our screens this Sunday. We wish him all the very best of luck.
Fubar Radio. Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my SAS sister.
That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously they can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, "What the fuck are those?" And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, "I got you, mate"? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Malani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, "John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets?" I went back to the bloke, said, "Yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do." What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you. What's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
This is Clara Hermit on What The Health. Welcome back. Joining me in the studio is Anton Ferdinand, former professional footballer and Dancing on Ice contestants. Let's get back into our chat. It's only a few days before your first performance.
Yep.
Do you know what your costume's going to be?
I've got an inkling of what it is.
So you don't even know yet?
No. We I have a fitting on Thursday, and then we do dress rehearsal on Saturday. My family, my wider family, my brother, my sisters, my dad, all can't wait to hear what I'm going to be wearing.
Yeah, is that a big topic of conversation in like the family group chat?
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. What are you wearing, Anton? Leotard?
Because they know Lycra's going to be involved, don't they?
Yeah, but I've always said that stuff don't bother me. I'm comfortable, and like I said, my daughter will absolutely love it. She'll be there giggling, seeing me in the tightest trousers and stuff. She'll actually be buzzing. So that's all that matters to me. She's going to be happy. My eldest son might not be happy. But I just hope I do them proud.
Yeah, you will do them proud. And you know what? I think it's part of that as a sport, ice skating as a sport, that's part of it, right?
Like 100%.
The costume, the getting dressed up, it's like you couldn't go to the ballet and someone be doing ballet in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Like, exactly. It just doesn't work. It's part of the performance.
The minute you say yes, you've got to embrace it.
There you go. You've fully got to go for it. But I just think it's funny because they're going to make memes out of it, aren't they?
100%. 100%. My brother and my sister already done one. They superimposed my head on a figure skater who had like tight clothes on. So, yeah, it is going to be a theme definitely that happens in my family group. But again, I'm here to embrace it.
But you have that kind of like banter. It's, with your siblings, that's just the way it is, isn't it? They're allowed to do that. That's what they're there for.
But it's also going to be in my football WhatsApp group. Uh-huh. So like I've got a WhatsApp group with my old teammates from West Ham, who are in there. They can't wait. All they keep saying is, you better not fall. You better not fall. So they're putting pressure on me. But I've said to them, one of the weeks we need to film a VT with all of you down here, and you get on the ice. And that's what you can do. Listen, it's all part and parcel of the journey that I'm about to embark on.
Yeah, I like it as well, because I think it's like, obviously, them really well, and that obviously there's that kind of jest there, but there's also love and support there, and it must feel good to have all of them kind of like, supporting you and getting so involved in it as well.
Yeah, it is. Through the banter and the jest, as you said, there is a feeling of warmth and a feeling of support. That's how our team was. We was like that off the pitch and on the pitch. We supported each other, but told each other the hard truths, and if that needed to be told in a certain way, it was done. So I'm ready for it, no matter how it comes. But as I said, the reality is that this is so far my comfort zone, and as long as I've worked as hard as possible, wherever I come, that is a bonus for me.
I love that. With the costumes, do you get to wear like a cup? Because it could be dangerous.
I've not even thought about that, if I'm being honest. I don't think so. Oh. I don't think so.
Okay, risky. Just keep the blades away.
Exactly.
Especially if you're swinging people around.
Exactly.
Anything could happen.
And there is one lift where you can lift your partner in the air, and they have to rest their blade between your legs. There is a lift. Me and Annette have done it off ice with no
blades on,
with no skates on, and just in trainers. We'd have to be careful.
Are you building up to that? That's that kind of lift, because you said you've been training for 2.5 months, so you obviously know what your first routine is going to be. But are you also building on that already? For thinking about how you go forward and the more impressive moves.
Yeah, that's definitely. You never know. There may be lifts in the first one. You never know. But there is so much you can do with this sport, and I'm in awe of, when I speak to some of the male professional skaters, and I'm saying, this feels crazy, and I feel like I'm doing too much. They're like, you've not even scratched the surface. There's so much more that you can put into this, but and that also worries me, because I think I'm nowhere near even doing these things because I'm still a novice in this sport. But I'm lucky that I've got a partner in Annette who, one's small, but she can lift herself as well, so she gives me great help when doing lifts, but that's something I'm looking forward to, lifting somebody on the ice and being in control of somebody whilst on the ice, having to stay in control of myself. It's daunting, but it's also something that I look forward to.
Yeah, just don't drop her.
No, exactly. Imagine that.
So this, of course, Dancing on Ice is your like your first kind of step into reality TV. Is there any more shows that you would like, reality TV shows that you would like to do or that you could see yourself doing? You'd be good in the jungle, wouldn't you?
You know, for years I always said I'd never do the jungle.
Yeah.
However, I feel like I could now.
Yeah.
I think, like, because I'm doing this, it's outside my comfort zone. I'd done, for Stand Up To Cancer, I'd done Don't Look Down, which was around heights and doing a wire walk at, like, 100 foot in the air.
Easy. I'm joking.
But, like, getting over my fear and of heights and stuff like that and pushing myself outside of my comfort zone, I feel like I could do... I'm a celeb. The only thing that worries me is no lack of sleep and... lack of food.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it could, that could obviously change my
mood.
My mood, you know.
I get hangry.
Exactly that. But the other side of it, I do a lot of water fasts. So I should be all right with the hungry feeling.
Yeah. I think you'd be good. Also, it depends how hungry you get, because you could do the eating challenge, and if you're really hungry, it'll make it easier to eat things like fish eyes, kangaroo testicles.
I think stuff like that I'd be fine with.
Yeah.
It's more like the putting my hands in things that I can't see what's in there.
Yeah. That are you okay with spiders?
No, but I think if I was laying, I'll just get on with it.
Right. Okay, so that could be a potential for you.
But there'll be fear. There'll be a fear to me though.
Yeah, you'd be scared.
You'd hear me scream. Okay. 100%.
Well, that's fine though. There's nothing wrong with that. Would you do Celebrity Big Brother?
I don't know, you know. I've not really thought about that one. I don't know.
Being locked in? The silence. You're like, I have to give this some real thought.
I think I would.
I think you'd be quite good on there.
I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would. I like bringing people together. Yeah. I like building, like, relationships and camaraderie within areas and spaces. So I think, yeah, I'd be okay in there.
You'd probably do like a football boot camp in the garden.
Exactly.
Get everyone up. They gave you a whistle. That'd
exactly.
be it. It'd be trouble for everybody. So when it comes to obviously your rehearsals for Dancing on Ice, what's been your favourite moment so far? What have you enjoyed the most?
My favourite moment so far in rehearsals has to be nailing something that I've struggled with, you know, and a couple of times throughout my learning the routine, I've really struggled with something and left it, come back the next day, and then all of a sudden the music goes on and I go, bang, I get it.
They do say that though, don't they?
Yeah.
If you go away and if you're trying to do something physical and you can't get it, if you go away and almost let it soak into your brain, then by the time you come back, your body's suddenly got it.
Definitely. And you know what? I read a book called Limitless, which talks about how to make your brain limitless and undo learning, you know, and people that have learning difficulties, how they can act and help them in terms. So they say to you, if you're reading a book to consume and take and hold information, you should do 25-minute blocks.
Mm.
So your brain can only really comprehend and take in 25 minutes worth of knowledge. Then you go away, relax for 5 to 10 minutes, let it marinate, let it fester, and then go back. That's a way of taking information and holding on to it. So it's almost similar to when I'm on the ice doing something, can do it, repeat it. If I'm just not getting it, sometimes better to move on, you know? Or what Rob was doing with my coach, he was adding a step or adding the next part of my routine into it, which forced me to just not think about what I was doing previously and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get it. So it's like, there's so many things. When you're worried about a step or a turn or going backwards and then all of a sudden it just hits and you just drop it and you just get it,
you're like, yes.
Yeah, it's the adulation's unbelievable.
And once, I suppose that's part of this though, like, that kind of like a crash course in something, I guess there's probably lots of bits that are really difficult, but there's lots of highs as well, because every time you get something you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Can you like spin around?
Not really. I can do one spin. Like, I can go around once and that's it. I can't continuously spin. I haven't got that.
But you're gonna by the end of the series. That's gonna be the highlight.
I hope so. That might be like my I have to be able to do that before the end.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And then next time Winter Wonderland's open next year,
exactly,
you can just go on there and start doing all of these cool tricks.
I'll take myself out of the Bavarian tent and get on the ice.
Have a few beers first in the Bavarian tent and then go on to the ice.
Exactly.
So you mentioned in your first performance that there might be a lift. I'm using, you know, inverted commas because I think that means there is going to be one. What can we expect from your first performance? Apart from Lycra and lifting,
what you can expect is
calm, cool, collected. No, joking.
Yeah, a focus. There will be a focus, 100%. First time on the ice, live in front of an audience. Going to be nervous, but I'm going to have to be like zoned in, which I think will take away from the actual performance side of it, because I'm going to be so locked into to what I'm doing. I think you'll be excited by it. It's a good song.
Yeah.
Can't tell you what it is, but it's a good song. And it's one that really goes well with the ice.
Hey, I like that. That's another little clue there, isn't it? I'm not going to say anything. I've got some ideas, but I'm not going to start reading them off. It's not Vanilla Ice, is it?
No.
Just checking.
No.
As it's the start of a new year, have you got any New Year's resolutions? Have you had time to even think about that? Probably not.
I haven't. Me and my wife were sitting down the other day and talking about New Year's resolutions and really what she think. I was asking her, what does she think?
What she thinks yours should be.
Yes.
Okay. Is this good for a relationship? How did it go?
Yeah, I think it's healthy.
What does she say?
What does she say to me? I think since retiring, I think I've been very much like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, where I've been trying to find my lane.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing. And sometimes I procrastinate because I go to do something, I do it, and then it's like, okay, I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
And she said, you have to stop doing that. She feels my New Year's resolution should be stop procrastinating and doing something and finishing it.
Like commit fully to it until it's done.
Yeah, and I do to a lot of things, but there's some things that I don't do that to. You know, I'm very much also in the house, okay, I'll do it in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no. Like,
just do it now.
I think
like you said, it's quite healthy for a relationship to do that. So maybe sit down with your partner and let them set your New Year's resolutions.
I think it's healthy. I think sometimes them conversations are hard to have in a relationship, but if you make it lighthearted and around a New Year's resolution where it's beneficial to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think I've seen that thing on the social media at the moment that's going around, where partners are talking and they're saying like that, whatever I say, you can't.
We listen, we don't judge. Yeah.
It's almost like that type of moment, you know, but it really is to benefit you rather than banter. And I think it opens a discussion where, you know, sometimes there's discussions that you might not want to have, you know, and it brings that out.
I think it's true. And also, like, the little things, like, you know, you say kind of things around the house and not doing them, it's really easy to fix, right? Yeah. And when you know how much it's kind of like... But how much it might be annoying somebody else, then it's like, well, this is an easy fix. Why would I not want to do that to make their life better make my life better? Because then they're not angry with you and then they're nicer to you.
To be fair, my wife don't really get angry, to be fair.
She just holds it all in.
No, she's quite chilled. I'm lucky. She's very, very chilled.
Maybe she needs to get a little cattle prod, you know, one of those electric things, or a dog collar. And then when you don't do it, she could just electrocute
buzz me.
You.
Ooh. Yeah. Imagine.
Maybe you can get one of those for her on the way home and be like, I'm committed to this New Year's resolution. Here you go.
Yeah, but I said to her, make sure you like be on me. If I'm not, I want to change. So I don't want to do that. You know, and whether that be in life, whether that be at home, I don't want to be that person. So if you see me doing that, then be on me.
Yeah, and also she's probably the closest person to you who can actually tell you the truth, so that, you know, you can do something about it. And sometimes it's hard to hear those truths.
Exactly that.
But it's important if we want to grow.
100%.
Love it. Look, it's been so great to talk to you. Let people know where they can find you on socials, because I'm sure they're going to want to follow your journey and see what you're wearing.
On Instagram it's Anton Ferdinand the number 5. TikTok, I'm on there. X, I'm on there. So listen, the journey is going to be one that's really, really good. It's so far out of my comfort zone, but I'm committed to the cause and I hope I do my family proud.
I'm sure you will. Really looking forward to it. Anton, thanks for being with us in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Fubar Radio. Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
That money show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Welcome back to What the Health here on FUBAR Radio. This is Clara Hermit in for Gabby Allen. Welcome to the show. We've had a great chat so far with the incredible personal trainer, India Bynome. We heard from Anton Ferdinand, who is, of course, currently a contestant on Dancing on Ice. And joining me now is Dr. Aisha Iqbal, who's an NHS doctor and weight loss coach. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you joining us here on the show. Now, for many people, we've just had the festive period and people might have been overindulging, got out of their routine. What's your advice for getting back on track with healthy eating habits?
I think this is such an important question because, like you say, some people would have gone off their normal habits over the festive period and some people will be using this time as like, you know, it's a new year, I want to get going with this. And the most important thing is to lay down a foundation and have those small steps that you can take on a consistent basis every single day. So like, I've just got over having like this horrible flu that's going around.
Me too.
But what I'm finding is that actually, because I've got these foundations of going out for my walks or drinking enough water or having vegetables with my meals, it's easier to get back on track because you've laid those foundations. And sometimes we think about those big things like going to the gym 5 times a week or, you know, having all these healthy meals and cooking these extravagant meals. Those are great to have as goals that you want to reach to. But think about the small things, because those small things are what's going to help you to achieve those bigger goals. And they're the things that are going to be your consistent foundations for when life gets tough, or when things get busy, or when you've got a celebration, or, you know, when you're sick or anything like that. And those are then they're going to be the things that help you to stay healthy and to feel healthy as well.
They're like sustainable lifestyle choices, aren't they, that you can make?
Absolutely.
Like you say, the foundation things. And I think, you know, this time of year, people do feel under a lot of pressure to, you know, kind of, whether it's lose weight or get fit or do this or do that. But I guess what you're saying is perhaps, you know, look at it from a long-term approach, what you want to achieve throughout the year, so that maybe this time next year you're in a different position, place.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to think of it, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? And when we're talking about being healthy, you want to be healthy for the rest of your life, right? It's not just for January or just for a few months. And the same way that when people are training for marathons, you're gradually getting yourself to have that stamina to be able to run however many miles it is that you want to run. I don't run. Please don't ask me how long a marathon is. But, you know, you have to do those things that are going to keep you consistent. And that's not sexy. Like, everyone wants to know the quick thing that you can do now to lose all the weight or feel fit. But actually, it's those consistent steps that are going to get you to that place of feeling healthy and to find yourself feeling healthy for as long as possible.
And, you know, I guess over Christmas, I certainly did. It wasn't just over Christmas. I think since the seasons changed, I found it quite difficult to continue how I was, you know, when it was lighter outside and warmer. It just really hit me quite a lot, which I guess a lot of people with seasonal affective disorder can be, you know, affected. So if people have put on weight and they're stressing about it, that's not going to be particularly helpful, is it? So what is the approach if people do think, gosh, you know, I want to lose some weight? How can they do it but be kind to themselves?
Yeah. This is a fabulous question. What I always advise people is to, yes, the goal might be that you want to lose X amount of kilos, but put that to a side and think about, why is that even important to you? So a lot of the clients I work with are mums, and they'll say it's because they want to be able to run around after their kids, or they want to be a good role model for their kids. So hold that as like the reason why in your hand, rather than I want to lose X amount of weight so I can fit into this dress or I can be that size, because those things are harder to keep your motivation with. Whereas when it's something that's a lot more personal and deep to you, that's going to help you maintain the motivation and to be kinder to yourself, because you'll be able to see results a lot quicker when you're thinking about your kid. Like, for example, like if you're thinking about, if I'm able to run after my kids, you're going to start seeing those results probably a lot quicker than you will see necessarily the change in your clothing. And when you shift that mindset, that's what's then going to help you to find the habits that are going to work for you, find the strategies that are going to work for you, rather than, like you say, putting that stress on yourself. Because actually, we know that stress causes you to gain weight, and that's what you want to avoid. You want to avoid having the stress, because that's going to not help you on the journey to feeling healthy and feeling fitter.
Of course. And I guess when we're trying to make those changes, we want a voice inside our head that's being positive and nice and supportive, rather than, you know, kind of degrading us or telling us off, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, it's like if your best friend was asking you for advice, you're not going to be saying mean things to her. You're going to be lifting her up. You're going to be saying things like, oh, look at where you've done this amazing, and look at this that's amazing. Like, you're going to boost her up. So you have to be your own best friend, and you have to be the one that's constantly reminding yourself of all the successes that you've had. And that's where it's really important to celebrate all those small wins, like drinking the water or going out for that walk, because that is actually going to rewire your brain to start recognizing all the small changes that you're making. Because like I say, the scale weight might take a longer time to change. And if that's the only thing you're using for motivation, then you're going to find yourself falling into old habits because you're not seeing results. But actually, if you're noticing, I've drank this much water, I've been able to go for a longer walk today, or I've, you know, I've not got out of breath when I went running for the bus, when you notice those things, that's going to boost you up, and you're going to then keep going with your journey.
That's such a great idea, isn't it? To have to work out before you start what your metrics of measurement are going to be, as opposed to, you know, just having that one of weight. When it comes to foods, do you advise any of your clients that there are foods that they should avoid if they're trying to lose weight?
So I think it's always really important to think about not restricting yourself, because the more we restrict ourselves and the more we take things off our plate that we enjoy, it's harder to actually see changes. So I always advise people to think about what they can add in that's going to be healthy rather than what they can take away. Because when we're focusing on, let's say, adding in more vegetables or more fiber, more protein, instantly that's going to change your appetite and how full you're feeling, which isn't then going to leave you space for your junk food and your crisps and your chocolates and things like that. So actually, instead of focusing on restricting those things, if we focus on increasing, you know, fiber, protein, that's going to help bring down the habits of eating the not so healthy food, but without it feeling like you're restricting yourself, because actually you're going to feel full and then the cravings and the desires for those things are going to come down. So yes, there are things that we should be changing, like you don't want to be eating lots of processed foods because we know that's having an impact on our gut and that can then have an impact on your health. But actually, we want to focus on what are the good things that we can bring in, because that's a lot easier to focus on than don't have any crisps ever again or don't have any chocolate ever again.
Yeah, I think that kind of approach to things where, you know, things are labelled as good and bad. There's the old adage, it's been around for ages, everything in moderation, I suppose, isn't there? And if you just have a little bit of something, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not going to, you know, push you over the edge. It's like you say, it's kind of replacing those, if your meals were ultra processed foods or your meals were junk food, but you can replace those meals with good healthy food that makes you feel fuller for longer, but then you fancy a chocolate bar, cool. And I think that's probably the best way to approach it. Do you find a lot around this time of year, especially with your clients, that they do feel a lot of pressure because it is suddenly January and for some reason it's like now or never? And how do you advise people to deal with that additional pressure?
So I think that pressure is there every year, isn't it? And especially with social media and, you know, even with myself, I was getting fed so many ads from lots of different trainers and it's like it was constant in your face, like you need to change now. But actually, remembering that, again, it's a long-term game. Like, where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in two years, 5 years? And seeing it as it's a step-by-step approach. And it's constantly just reminding yourself of that, because we've all been there every year setting goals that when you get to December, it's like, oh, wait, I didn't even do anything that was on my list. And just being more realistic with what is it that you want to achieve, but also then taking ownership to say, okay, if I want to achieve that, what do I need to do gradually now to get to that point? Because we're so good at setting the goals, but we're never really thinking about what actions do I need to do to get to that point of reaching that goal.
So true, isn't it? I think we really have to think things through. The same thing happened to me this year when I was sharing with a friend something that I wanted to do and they're like, okay, why do you want to do it? And how are you going to do it? Have you even thought about, you know, what the steps are, what the process is? I was like, no, I'm just going to start. And they were like, no, that's setting yourself up for failure because you haven't planned. So I took their advice, pushed back starting a little bit, made a plan, and that's been really, really helpful. So I think that's something that's so important. You spoke about, obviously, trainers flooding pages. There's also lots of diets being shoved in our faces all the time, especially on social media. Are there any diets that you recommend or diets that you would avoid? How do you kind of... because I think, personally, diets don't work. But, you know, if someone says to you, comes to you and says, right, I want to do this diet, what's your advice then?
So I'm exactly the same with you. I don't think diets are things that we should be following. And what I always say to people is that all of these diets, there will be people who find success on the keto or cutting out XYZ, but it all comes down to the same fundamental aspects. Cutting out processed foods, cutting out things that are empty calories, increasing protein, increasing fiber, increasing vegetables, like pretty much most diets across the board, that's what they're doing. And so instead of restricting yourself with a diet that might not even suit your palate or might make you feel really restricted and then actually make you more likely to binge on food, if we focus on the fundamentals so that you can still enjoy your pizza or your takeaway because you actually are teaching yourself about the nutrition underneath the diet rather than that kind of like blanket thing of only eat this and don't eat that. And I think that's where it's really important that we all start educating ourselves. And, you know, knowledge is available to us through the internet so easily now. And it's just about being aware of what you're consuming and trying to like actually see, is that the truth or is someone trying to sell me something? Because a lot of the time it's when people are trying to sell you certain ideas that it's being pushed on you. And I think I always say to people, like, if you had a Porsche, you're not going to go and take it just to any mechanic. You're going to take it to someone who's an expert who really understands. And your body is worth more than a Porsche. So kind of having that narrative in your head so that you're aware of kind of what's being said to you and why it's being said to you, but also just taking that responsibility of, you know, learning about protein, learning about the components of food. And it doesn't mean that you have to go into depth and go get a PhD or anything. You just have to kind of have like that basic understanding, and it can go such a long way so that you can then be in the kitchen and decide, okay, I'm having XYZ and that's going to be a really good meal for me.
Thank you so much. I love the Porsche analogy. I will be using that for sure. I am more valuable than a Porsche. Dr. Aisha Iqbal, it's been lovely to talk to you. Where can people find you if they want to find out more about what you do and your coaching?
Yeah, so I'm across social media. So YouTube and Instagram and TikTok are mostly my favourites. So you can find me at Dr. Aisha. So that's DrAishah.
Perfect. That's it. Look, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for giving up your time and being with us on the show. And we wish you a happy new year.
Thank you. You too. Take care. Bye.
That was the incredible Dr. Aisha Iqbal there, who is an NHS doctor and weight loss coach with some great advice. It's time for me now to get into some of your fitness questions. Now, if you want to get involved in this segment of the show, you can DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram. That's easy. Send your questions and we'll do our very best to answer them. Peter asks, how long should I stick to a program? Should I keep going until I get bored? Now, I think when it comes to sticking to a program, obviously you want to be being progressive with the weights that you're lifting or the exercises that you're doing. But you can keep going until you obviously reach a plateau. If you reach a plateau, then that's not that workout, that program isn't working for you anymore. If you're not getting stronger, if you're not getting fitter, then it's time to actually change some things up. If you do get bored, again, you can switch around your program. So you can switch in a different exercise that is working a similar muscle or muscle group and just keep things, you know, going along a little bit. But obviously the point of a program is that there is progress. So as long as the program is working for you, you can stick to it. Also, I should say the caveat there is it depends what your goals are. You know, it depends what your particular goals are. Perhaps your goals are just to feel a bit stronger or just to be able to run 5K or whatever it is. And you don't, if you can just do that repetitively, then you're happy with that and you just want to maintain that. Perfect. But if you do get bored, as I say, just switch out the exercises for another exercise that works the same muscle or muscle group. And go for it. And that's also, you know, you're learning new things as well. So that can be really positive. But stick to it for as long as it works for you. Jennifer says, I've been working out consistently 3 to 4 times a week. Congratulations, Jennifer, for the last 2 months. Just recently, I've had a significant increase in appetite. So much so that after eating a full meal like lunch or dinner, I feel super hungry still. Do I listen to my body and eat more? So if you've been working out consistently for the last 2 or 3 times a week for the last 2 months, you might have, you know, increased what you're doing and so that you are burning more calories so that your body is requiring more energy. I think it's also really important to look at what is on your plate. We just heard from Dr. Aisha there, that kind of idea of making sure that you are eating protein and fiber that are keeping you feeling fuller for longer. So really having a little look behind the nutrition, what is on your plate, and also looking at, you know, if you have some kind of watch or a heart rate monitor or any of those things, Jennifer, to work out how many calories your workouts are burning and looking at how much calories you're consuming, because it might be that it's just not enough and that is why your body is feeling hungry. And you know, also you're going to be building more muscle and that might be requiring more energy. So really taking a look at, you know, your body is a machine. Take a little look at it, work out what's going out, what's coming in, and then increase as necessary. But if your body is still feeling hungry, I think that that is probably the guide that you're probably in need of more calories. So have a little look into that. Do some research on your workouts and on what you're currently eating and go from there. Mark asks, what are your thoughts on calisthenics? Is it beneficial to incorporate into my training? Again, like, they can be so good because they are super functional, and they take a lot of skill as well, so a lot of focus, you're learning something new. It just depends, Mark, on what you're wanting to achieve and what you're wanting to, you know, gain with your workouts. I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, we might do something for a couple of years and we kind of get that kind of itchy feet feeling where we're like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm a little bit bored of doing this. I've been doing the same thing for a long time now. I want to try something new. And I don't think there is anything wrong with, you know, building some calisthenics into your current workout. There is an incredible PT that I follow and she has done exactly that. She did lots and lots of weight training, and then she has gone into doing lots of calisthenics. Her name is Bethany Tomlinson, or Beth underscore Fit UK on Instagram, Mark. So maybe check her out and you can see how she's built that in around her program. But yeah, if you're feeling the urge to try something new, my suggestion is go and do it. You've been listening to Clara Hermit on the What the Health Show. Thank you to all of my guests, Anton Ferdinand, India Bynome, and Dr. Aisha Iqbal. Now, if you are listening, don't forget you can download the app. You can listen each week whenever you want. We are What the Health Show on Instagram, and you can download the FUBAR app and listen back whenever you want. The show is also available on all great podcast programs, platforms. Speak to you soon.